The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy once again, my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas, on this beautiful Saturday, December the 17th, 2022. Welcome to the show, my friends. We've got a good one for you, another good one for you. We've got four guests for you, but in order to provide good enough introductions to them, we're going to just break up the intros into two segments. We're going to have the first two guests, and then we're going to have the second two guests. Our first two guests are new folks, Miss Irene Armendariz Jackson, who is from El Paso. And she is a Republican activist in El Paso. She has run for Congress in El Paso. She's going to be chatting with us about the recent election and what is going on in El Paso with the border crisis, my friends. You're going to want to hear her perspective. She is a great lady. We also have Mr. Taylor Kramer. Taylor is a blogger in South Texas, in deep South Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley. He has a blog called Rio Grande Valley Truth. You're going to definitely want to hear what he's got to say about what is going on in the Rio Grande Valley, not only with the conservative movement, the Republican Party and the conservative movement, but also, of course, with the crisis, with the border crisis. So, my friends, thank you very, very much for joining us today. I hope that you will tell your friends about our program. I hope that you will encourage people to listen to our program. We do not necessarily bring you news. What we do, my friends, is we fill in the blanks for what the mainstream media is not telling you. We talk to people who are in the know and who can tell you exactly what is happening in your backyard, as well as at the border, as well as what is going to be happening in your backyard with the illegal immigration problem. So, my friends, once again, thank you for joining us. We'll be right back after the break, and we've got our first two guests. Thank you. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you on KLUP 930 AM radio here in San Antonio, in the heart of South Texas. And we've got a new guest with us, my friends, Miss Irene Armendariz Jackson from El Paso. She is a former candidate for Congress in El Paso. And she is also the wife of a Border Patrol agent. So she's very, very qualified to talk about the politics and what's happening on the border. Irene, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
It's an honor and a privilege. Thank you for inviting me, George.
Let me begin by asking you, because over this past weekend of December 10th and 11th, there was a lot of activity on the border, particularly in El Paso. What do you think about the border crisis that's going on?
Well, you know, it's very disheartening. I am a native of El Paso. I'm 52 years old. We've raised our family here. My husband and I have been married 29 years as of last November. We have three beautiful daughters and four grandbabies, the fifth one on the way. And sometimes it's just too much to see what is happening. And not that it's being ignored, because I think people are understanding on the Republican side what is going on. But, you know, we didn't get this way from one day to the next, George. So it's important to call out the powers that allowed it to get this bad, and let's get this crisis fixed. It is a self-inflicted wound, but it has an easy fix, and it doesn't have to be complicated, but politicians like to complicate things.
Yeah, that's very, very true. You, there, right there in El Paso, you've got a very famous politician named Beto O'Rourke.
Right.
Has he ever made any kind of suggestions other than punishing Americans?
No, absolutely not. If you look at the history of where he comes from, when he was in city council, first of all, he's never held a job in his life. He went from college directly to being an elected official at the city council. And you see the history of how he voted, what he did. For all you Catholics that voted for Beto O'Rourke, he actually had a priest removed physically from a city council meeting. He's never held a job. So what could he have in common with the common person, like most Americans? And he does not represent us. He comes from a very wealthy background, and I would dare to say even a criminal background, because wow. you hear the evidence of what happened with his mom's furniture store, which I never visited because it was a very high-end furniture store, but it closed from one day to the next, and rumor has it that it was laundering money. And so I come from a background of service. He comes from a background of criminal activity and being born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
He sounds like Hunter Biden.
Verdad.
Really. Let me ask you this, because this is a very, very, I mean, you were a candidate. What do you think the Republicans need to do along the border in order to win? Well, in the Hispanic community in general, what do you think they need to do here in Texas?
Absolutely. Look, let me tell you why the border is so important, George, because the majority of the people that live on the border, like my parents, are legal immigrants who then have their children here in the United States. And so you have a lot of immigrants, and you have, especially from Mexico, and then you have a lot of first generations like myself, who are brought up very Mexican-like culture. And the Mexican culture is a culture of family, of life, of hard work. Yes, we have some very negative stereotypical things in that culture, but let's not bring those with us. And they came for a reason. I believe the Republican Party has a very unique opportunity to change the politics, not only of 2024, but of decades to come, if they really take serious the largest demographic minority, not only in Texas, but in the United States. Here in Texas, I think we're like at 39%. That's a large amount of people. And we're not that easy to win over. Coming from a non-political background and understanding spiritually the spiritual side of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party was what brought me to the Republican Party. And I remember in an interview, Jorge Ramos asked me, well, what do you think about the Republican Party seeking you out and looking for the Hispanics just for the vote? And I said, I want to get one thing straight. The Republicans didn't come looking for me. I went looking for the Republicans. And why? Because of the issues. Because once you start the issues, and if you pound those issues over and over and over again, and that's what I'm saying about the Republican Party getting serious. You and I were in a meeting the other day, and you and I see eye to eye. And I think the majority of the Republican Hispanics see this and understand this and have been screaming it from the rooftops. When will the Republicans understand that it does matter who, not only the message, who the messengers are? And so they can call us coconuts. I'm sure you've been called that. They can say, you know, con el nopal en la cara, whatever. It doesn't matter who they really are. But the Republican Party has a few that control it, and they love the power. If I have learned anything in the last 6 years of walking through this political side, is that power is what people want to hold on to more than even money. Of course, the power brings money and whatnot, but it's that power. When you ask somebody, hey, how can I get in touch with so-and-so because I'd like to invite him? All of a sudden, they all have dementia, and then all of a sudden, nobody can get a hold of them. Why? Because they don't want you to outshine them. So you tell me why Ted Cruz flies into El Paso, contact anybody in the GOP. We were in the middle of our campaign, ignores us completely, and drives 45 minutes into New Mexico to help Yvette Harold with her campaign. I'm his constituent. El Paso are his constituents. How dare he ignore us?
Really, that's true. Let me ask you a favor, that try not to move too much because we're losing your audio every now and then. Okay.
It's my hands. I'm speaking. Soy latina. Hablo con las manos.
Yeah, I know. Try to stay still, sure. Because we're losing your audio. But it's very, very true. It's very, very true. You know, we have gatekeepers that want to keep people out, and then we've got other superstars that don't have time for us.
Exactly.
Very, very, very true. Let me ask you another question. The issue of, while we lost many, many races in the Hispanic community, here in San Antonio, the Republican Party was wiped out practically inside the county. However, the state did turn redder. There were more elected officials. What do you expect of the state when it comes to Republican issues like the border and school choice and a few other things? What do you expect?
Well, I expect them to stand their ground. I expect the Republicans at the state level to say what they are for. Once they're elected, then stand for the platform. And the platform of the Republican Party is what is drawing Hispanics to the Republican Party. And if you don't align with it, then you need to get out. Call yourself an independent, and call yourself a libertarian, or call yourself a Democrat. Don't call yourself a Republican, and then do not stand for the platform of the Republican Party. Here in El Paso, I've been told, you should say you're a conservative. You know, I find, George, that in this climate, people are looking for the opposite of what they have right now in the Democrat cities like my own. And the opposite of a Democrat is a Republican. But let's be a true Republican. And if not, let's make sure that those people are not elected again. Let's hold them accountable. But let's make sure that if we're going to say we're going to have a red wave, we don't just sit back and wait for results. That we work until election day, until the last hour, and make sure that we deliver what we promise. Because I can guarantee you, everybody's hurting in this economy, and we have not begun to see the effects of all this illegal immigrants coming in. Very alarming. It's not only the numbers that are recorded being very close to Border Patrol. We're getting at least 500 getaways every day.
Wow.
That should be alarming and should be put us in a panic stage to get. If your idea of supporting is just going out to vote, shame on you. That's why we didn't get the red wave. You need to be donating. You need to be knocking on doors. You need to be on your knees and asking the Lord to forgive our sins and allowing this to get to where we're at, George. And I believe that God is merciful, and he will hear our cry if he so wills it. But in the meantime, let's make sure that we are very active and letting everybody know from the rooftops, the Republican Party is the party of conservative values, and we align with the Hispanic community.
Excellent. I couldn't say it better. Irene, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. We've got to get you back on the show again, and you can give us an update of what's happening with politics in El Paso. Sometimes people forget that El Paso is part of Texas.
Oh, I know. We're like a stepchild. We're barely hanging on, but we are there. And, you know, for anybody that wants to contact me, my number is 915-494-2851. 915-494-2851. We have new projects in the works, and if you want to be a part of it, make sure that you contact me so we can get you that information as soon as we launch it.
You got it. Thank you very, very much. Folks, we've been speaking with my good friend, Miss Irene Armendariz Jackson from El Paso. You stay good. Have a Merry Christmas.
Likewise. Thank you, George. Bye-bye.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got a new guest with us, Mr. Taylor Kramer. And Taylor is, he has a blog called Rio Grande Valley Truth. Very, very interesting. He is he follows the politics in the Rio Grande Valley, which can be very, very interesting, and I'll use that term. But we wanted to get him on because there's all sorts of things happening in the Rio Grande Valley, particularly with the border crisis. And Taylor, thank you for taking time to be with us. First of all, tell the folks a little bit about Rio Grande Valley Truth.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be with you. So yeah, RGV Truth, which is Rio Grande Valley Truth, is I've been reporting on the border, just documenting what's been happening down here in McAllen, from here to Eagle Pass, and also the local politics down here. And I've been following the local politics just to record, you know, like CEC meetings and other conservative meetings down here for the people who are still at work and can't make the meetings. But yeah, even in that, I'll tell you, I've gotten a lot of flack from the conservatives down here for just recording. So it is, as you said, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us, we, you know, we expected a much bigger red wave in South Texas than we got. Any quick assessments that you can give us on that?
Yeah, so, well, I think there was a lot of government propaganda out there. I think Trump has a better record with endorsements than anybody ever has. And just because he missed by, you know, 40 endorsements out of what was it, 300, everybody kind of took the liberal media bait that Trump's over and everything else. But I mean, that's the furthest thing from the truth. But down here in the valley, everybody traditionally votes Democrat. And there are, you know, since the 2020 elections, there has been a red wave down here. And I think it is continuing to grow. And everybody who's saying there is no red wave is just trying to suppress it. The only problem with the valley seems that everything is controlled by rhinos and everybody's looking for the money, and that money's coming from some legacy, you know, I'm not going to name names, but from some legacy presidential families that have been well known in Texas.
Right, right. Yeah, we know. We know, sadly, we know too much about that. The O-line establishment versus the grassroots folks.
Yeah. And it's all, it's, you know, it's always class warfare, no matter what they try to hide it as. That's what it is. They see themselves as a ruling class over the common people.
Yep. Let's talk about the border crisis. Specifically, you've talked to us a little bit about, you've talked to me a little bit about the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations or nonprofit organizations that are assisting in what I call the colonization of America, the
yes,
bringing in all these folks. Tell us a little bit about that, what you see, what you find there in your neck of the woods.
About maybe a year and a half ago, they had processing tents, these big white tents, right in downtown McAllen, right across from the bus station and Catholic Charities, right by 15th Street. And they were processing the illegal aliens for COVID. And then they take them over to Catholic Charities, get them fed, get them, you know, that's basically where they were getting all their benefits from. They were trying to find sponsors, which is another story all in all. But basically, Border Patrol can only hold on to illegal aliens for a certain amount of time. And after that, they have nowhere to put them. And that's where Catholic Charities and a lot of these other NGOs in the valley come in. They're basically a storage facility. And they also route plane flights. They help the illegal aliens out with everything they can. Because the more they spend, the more they get reimbursed by the government.
And literally, like here in San Antonio, they come in for 3 days and make the arrangements for their flights. But after those 3 days, they turn them loose. They, I mean, if they're,
yes,
if they haven't got their flights yet, they, I mean, we've met lots and lots of illegal alien homeless. Is that going on there too?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so, you know, one thing we used to, I used to be with a group down here, a Patriot group, and we would monitor Catholic Charities 24/7. And late at night, you would see women, a lot of times it's pregnant women or women with very young children. That seems to be the most heavily trafficked or the most heavily sought after. And you would see these women go with their envelopes. You know, everybody knows the manila folder they get.
Right.
They would go to the bus station, sit in the bus station for a few minutes, come back out, sit on a bench, and get picked up by, you know, some hot rod or low rider, you know, obviously somebody connected to some sort of trafficking ring. And it's sad. You can see it morning, noon, and night. Now, Catholic Charities has tightened up security. They have blacked out all their windows. and they really don't like cameras. And what we've always said, you know, when we're outside on the street with cameras and they're calling the police on us and everything else and saying that we're threatening them, is if you have nothing to hide, you know, why this reaction?
Exactly.
And they have guilty written all over their faces.
Exactly. We encountered that on Monday here in San Antonio when I went out to do some interviews at the Migrant Center. I had some idiot just go maniac.
So that's a programmed individual. He is absolutely, all the CIA psyops are working on him just perfectly. He could not think of anything more than race. He said, you are a race traitor and this guy's white and everything else. And that has been the token they throw down, the chip the elites always throw down to keep us fighting amongst ourselves and not realizing it's about class. The elites don't care what color you are. They just don't want the common people to start making the rules. And I think that's what Trump really brought in, that people like me wearing dirty boots and a dirty t-shirt getting off work are coming to CEC meetings and wanting to change their community.
Wow. So where do you see us going? I mean, this thing is really, really out of control at this point. Thousands are coming in on a daily basis. I mean, it's no longer just a few. Where do you think this thing is going?
I think it's not going to stop. This is absolutely 100% a United Nations, United States government sanctioned human trafficking network, and everybody's on the take. There's so much money coming in, everybody's looking the other way. It has corrupted everyone, every single person from, and I hate to say it, law enforcement all the way up to the president. They're all 100% in on it. And there's good law enforcement out there, but, you know, down here, there is one economy. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yep. Let me ask you, there was a story of an assistant district attorney that got caught, that she got caught trafficking some illegal aliens the other day.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that situation?
It's still, you know, I don't want to say too much when things are developing, but it just seems like, you know, again, it's just a case of people in the government thinking they're above the law and they can do whatever they want and they have no shame. And that seems to be the majority of our elected officials. I mean, just, you know.
Yeah, I know that.
It's terrible.
I mean, I remember there have been some significant arrests in Cameron County, for example, of police chiefs and DAs and other folks like that for corruption. Where was this one? Where was this DA from?
It was in the Valley. I would have to research that more. Okay. That's been just a news story. I've got so many other things that have been going on. I've been in a lot of meetings, so that one's kind of...
Yeah, like what? What else do you have going on?
Well, so the main thing is just connecting dots for people about these NGOs. And the biggest thing is, why is the Catholic Church always connected with all the unaccompanied minors? Why does the Catholic Church get all the children? I mean, we know what the record is with the Catholic Church and children. They should not be... They shouldn't be together, let's just say that. And Sister Norma Penimental seems to really put herself
in the middle of everything.
in the middle of everything. The amount of times Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton has come down to Catholic Charities.
It's always been with her.
I'm not going to get into too many names here, but there is basically back in the 90s, the Clintons came down here and just showered this whole place with money. And they are basically, they're deities down here. There's certain restaurants you can go to and they have shrines to Bill Clinton where he sat in that seat and they have pictures everywhere and autographs. They are royalty down here. The Clintons absolutely greased all the wheels down here. And why are the Clintons greasing all the wheels and keeping a very special place in their book for what's been known historically as the biggest human trafficking area in the United States? Just a question, you know?
Yeah. Wow. It really is. I mean, Sister Pimentel, as they call her. What is the name of her organization?
That's Catholic Charities of McAllen. And, you know, here's the thing. So I've been to many meetings and events where they put everybody up on a stage. It's your local representatives, your state representatives, Sister Norma, and they're all blaming, well, yeah, these things are happening, but it's the traffickers, you know, not us. We're just trying to help people. And when she was asked at a public event, what can we do to stem the flow of migrants, she said, there's nothing we can do. We just have to take them all in.
Ah, my gosh.
So basically there's you know, keep letting me run my, you know, my trafficking game here.
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, she's got no... no answer for trying to stop it, which if you truly cared about the people, you would want them to be happy in their own country, which is something Trump did. Trump actually put a lot of money into El Salvador and other places for manufacturing. As we know, manufacturing helps out everybody. That's why he was trying to get it back in the United States as well.
Wow. Taylor, we're going to need to let you go. Tell the folks where they can follow you.
So my main thing would be on Rumble. That's like a YouTube, but it's an alternative YouTube. So it'd be RGB Truth on Rumble. You can catch all my clips and written stuff on Facebook under RGB Truth. I'm also on Telegram if you want to get in contact with me. My email is rgbtruth@protonmail.com. And I would really like you guys to check out this video called This is Human Trafficking. It's on my Rumble, and it'll really explain everything from how people get from the border to Catholic charities and everything else.
You got it, buddy. Thank you once again, my friends. We've been speaking with Taylor Kramer from Rio Grande Valley Truth, or RGB Truth. Thank you very, very much for being with us, Taylor.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Welcome back, my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And welcome back to our second, the second part of our program, my friends. Our next two guests are Mr. Jason Jones, who is a regular on our show. He is a reporter with Newsmax at the border. He is going to be providing you some information about what is happening and what is anticipated to happen in the next few days, as the Title 42 is removed, my friends. This is serious. This is a very, very serious situation we're looking at. After Jason, we've got Mr. Wade Miller. He is a new guest with us, but a very, very noteworthy one. Wade Miller used to be chief of staff for Congressman Chip Roy, but now he is the executive director for the Center for Renewing America. This organization has taken, in my opinion, a lead in providing guidance on what needs to happen regarding the border crisis, my friends. They have become a think tank specializing on what is happening at the border, and they have been very, very active here in Texas and in Arizona, providing guidance, providing direction to legislators, to local organizations. I mean, they've been very, very active. Wade Miller is very, very notable in this arena. He is knowledgeable, extremely knowledgeable of what is happening. You're going to want to hear what he's got to say. So, friends, once again, thank you very, very much for joining us today. I hope that you will continue to join us, and I hope you'll tell your friends about us. So without further ado, let's go to our first guest here in the second segment, Mr. Jason Jones from Newsmax. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Jason Jones, formerly with the Texas Department of Public Safety and now with Newsmax. He is one of their border contacts, but he is our criminal border expert. And Jason, welcome to the show. Talk to us, because I know you've been working down there. What is going on with these huge number of aliens that are crossing right now? What is being done about it, or who are they, or how are we handling this thing?
Sure, George, as always, buddy, it's good to be with you, and thanks for all you're doing to always try to share what's really happening down there with the folks. So I was in El Paso, which, as you know, I have been warning for months that all eyes should be on El Paso, Texas, because we saw a shift in migrant crossings from Del Rio, which has been ground zero for the southwest border, to now El Paso, the way it has been for the last 2 months. And I spent the week, Monday through Friday, in El Paso sector, embedded with the Texas Department of Public Safety's Criminal Investigations Division, watching them take down stash houses, but also with the Texas Department of Public Safety's Aircraft Division. And I have to tell you, I've been absolutely stunned at what I saw. We went in everything from stash houses. We were in pursuits. We were in bailouts. We watched as migrants were running through neighborhoods of citizens' homes. I mean, it is incredible. And what is happening out there is that here's what's taking place. You had 53,000 apprehensions in the month of November in El Paso sector. You had 26,000 known gotaways, never mind the ones we don't know about. So in El Paso on the west side, there's a mountain, and that mountain divides New Mexico, Texas, and Mexico. It's called Mount Cristo Rey. Scouts from Mexico climb up that mountain, and then they look into New Mexico where the border wall goes, and they call out Border Patrol agents where they are and tell migrants on the Mexico side when to cross. That's the Halcon network. That's what they're doing. And for about 5 miles into New Mexico, you have these runners that are crossing into the United States, going into stash houses and being moved throughout the country by the alien smuggling organizations. And we were there in the air, on the ground, watching it play out. And when I tell you literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds a night of runners are crossing. Now, what is a runner? Well, most news agencies show you are the family units. These are the people who DHS allows to turn themselves into law enforcement, CBP specifically, and they're allowed to be in the country under different statuses like parole, etc. What I'm talking to you about are people who are not allowed to be into the country under DHS's current rules. And now, who are they? Well, it's going to surprise your audience, but right now it's four main countries: Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvadorians. Those are what we are seeing on the ground as runners, because DHS, for whatever reason, has decided that only those four countries are not allowed to stay here. So they're coming in mass like the rest of the world, but then they're working with these alien smuggling organizations. And then from there, they're taken into stash houses. And I got to tell you, I watched as DPS did incredible work rescuing an 11-year-old girl and 11 other migrants, total of 12, out of an Econo Lodge motel that was being used as a stash house. And I mean, it was just stunning. You walk in, George, and you see human feces on the ground. You immediately smell it. You smell body odor when you walk in, and trash and debris everywhere, where these people are just sleeping on the floor in any square inch they can get in this room. And it is an example of what you hear me say when we talk about the issue at the border through the lens of immigration. That's one layer. But when you start peeling back the onion, you look at the human smuggling, the trafficking, the stash houses, the drug trafficking. One main takeaway that I saw this week is that not only is our border completely overrun, but the trade craft that the alien smuggling organizations are using is exactly what we used to see them using for drug trafficking. I mean, literally, as they're driving down the road trying to move people completely filled in a vehicle, they have roving vehicles that are following that vehicle to make sure they're not being followed by any law enforcement. Then the driver doesn't even know where he's going. When he gets to a pre-designated location, he texts the other smugglers who are going to tell him what stash house to go drop them off at. So we're seeing trade craft in an area that we never saw it before. You know, human smuggling this was not a big moneymaker domestically. Today, that has completely shifted, and I saw it firsthand.
Wow. And, you know, we are hearing how this past weekend, December the 10th, 11th, the number of people that arrived in one group alone in El Paso was well over 700. Another 200 crossed. A group of 200 crossed in Del Rio. These are outrageous numbers.
You have to remember, yeah. George, those are the family units.
Yeah,
that's where I was going.
Those
right.
are the family units. Heaven knows who's getting away that we don't know about, who is coming in that we don't know about, because our Border Patrol agents are so busy taking care of these hundreds. Thousands.
These policies from DHS and from the administration are absolutely going to change crime in this country, and there is no doubt about it. What I saw this week stunned me. And look, you know, I'm on that border almost every other week. And what is happening in El Paso, it's truly incredible. I mean, from the air, the reason I go with aircraft is because you get a completely different view. And it was amazing to watch at night as all of these groups of 2, 20, 40, et cetera, groups on the Mexico side start lining up, preparing. And as we're flying in the helicopter, we're hitting our siren, we're hitting them with the night sun, we're trying to break up the groups on the Mexico side as best as possible. But eventually that helicopter runs out of gas. It's right. Truly a force multiplier.
Yep.
And as we depart, as that helicopter departs, the Halcones, the guys who are the lookouts for the smugglers and the cartels, they say, now's the time to go. The helicopter just left. And you can literally listen over the radio as Border Patrol and the other high-flying aircraft that they couldn't see or hear says, here they come, and it just droves of them. I've actually got a video, George, so we're going to break the story on tomorrow, where a woman crossed over with a group of 45, broke both of her legs, and all 45 of them ran off and just left her. Border Patrol had to sit with her for almost an hour. They were in such a remote area before the ambulance could even get there. I've got it all on video.
Wow.
I mean, it's stunning what's taking place.
Now, once they cross... Who picks them up once they're processed, whatever that means, and released, these family units? That's one thing. But what happens to the runners if you do catch them?
Okay, it's a great question. They do not have processing availability for the amount of people that are crossing. I want to be very clear on that. So what's happening, and I've got exclusive video on this as well, is those that are being apprehended that are runners, they're being belly chained, meaning they're put into chains, put into handcuffs, and they're loaded onto aircraft. And I watched this firsthand. And then they're flown to Harlingen, Texas, and to Laredo, Texas. And then I heard McAllen as well, but I know Harlingen and Laredo for sure because I talked to Border Patrol agents who are actually boarding these airplanes, conducting security. And they're having to fly them to other processing centers because El Paso doesn't have capacity to conduct the processing. So they have no idea who these people are. They're putting them in handcuffs. They're boarding these charter flights of usually about 140 at a time. And anywhere from 4 to 5 flights per day are leaving El Paso just to process these people. Now, from there, we don't know what happens because we don't know what country of origin they come from. But most likely, many of them are being deported because of their runner status. Do you see them? It all depends what they claim.
So they are being deported, hopefully.
Well, hopefully, but you got to remember, there are so many exemptions
under
Title 42 of the DHS has put in play. We don't know. And I'll tell you another thing. If anyone gets a chance, go to the El Paso airport. It is covered up in people who are allowed to stay in the country from all over the world. I mean, you see them everywhere with no shoelaces. Because Border Patrol has taken their shoelaces and they're holding vanilla envelopes and they're everywhere at the damn airport.
Wow.
I mean, it's stunning what we're doing to the country, George.
Yeah, really.
And for me, what I can't get over is in 5 days, one agency, and I'm going to give you a stat here that's going to stun you. In 5 days, just the Texas Department of Public Safety took down 23 stash house operators and rescued over 1,000 migrants. I'm sorry, arrested over 100 migrants in just a Monday through Friday period that I was there.
Wow.
Think of that. Jeez. Think of that.
We have a crisis. Listen, buddy, we need to let you go. Tell the folks where they can follow you and where they can see the stuff that you are publicizing and whatnot.
You bet. You can find us on Newsmax, and you can also find us at Jason Jones. That's Jason Jones. I'm on all social media, from TikTok to Instagram. You name it, we're there.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Jason. We definitely need to get you back on the show probably next week to get an update of what is happening, because so much is happening. Thank you very, very much, buddy.
Always good to be with you, buddy.
You got it. Once again, my friends, we George Rodriguez, El Conservador, and we've been speaking with our good friend Jason Jones from Newsmax. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on KLUP 930 AM Radio, The Answer. And we've got a new guest with us, Mr. Wade Miller. He is Executive Director of Citizens for Renewing America in D.C. He is also the former Chief of Staff for Congressman Chip Roy, our congressman right here in my backyard. And I wanted to reach out to him because he and several others have been very, very involved in this in addressing the border crisis. So I would like for him to talk to us a little bit about everything that's going on at the border that we hear, that we see right here. What's going on in D.C.? Wade, thank you for taking time to be with us today. Tell us, what is going on in Washington to address our crisis here?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. And, of course, you and I have known each other for quite a few years now. And the short answer is nothing. And nothing is going on in D.C. to address the border crisis. In fact, you know, the Biden administration is allowing Title 42 to expire. Of course, they'll blame it on a judge, but they were already ramping it down and didn't want to use it anyways. So nothing's really going on. And I don't know that anything's going to go on in the next Congress, even with the House controlled by Republicans, because I don't see a current leadership structure where they will be, you know, actually intent on fighting on a major must-pass piece of legislation like a continuing resolution or an omnibus bill and actually pick a fight and force fundamental reforms that would empower border agents to actually secure the border. And so this gets to, you know, the strategy that we have been pushing for some time, which is the invasion strategy. You know, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, we have been very adamant of using this strategy as a way to get around the current limitations that the courts have put on states to enforce immigration law. And, of course, the Article 1 invasion argument is not immigration law. It's a constitutional power. So myself, King Cuccinelli, Russ Vogt, we have been working this for almost 2 years to really make it a national debate. I think that, with the help of a lot of others, especially in Texas, and I would be remiss to exclude Arizona. Arizona, some people there have been very helpful as well. In fact, Carrie Lake endorsed this plan. She was going to do it on the first day of being, sworn into office, and I'm still holding out a little hope there that the courts will take up her challenges and provide her some relief, because I do think there was a massive amount of voter disenfranchisement in Arizona. But the invasion strategy is our main push that we've really been getting behind, because it actually is a power that has not been used before. It's been referenced by James Madison. It's been referenced by Sam Houston in this context, but they didn't actually get around to officially doing it. So we know that the founders and early Americans would have recognized this authority as valid. We just don't have the political leadership in place in Texas to actually do it. And they're throwing out every excuse in the world to not actually declare an invasion. Or if they do declare an invasion, as we've seen from Governor Abbott recently, in some kind of empty executive orders that don't actually accomplish the objective, they are not coupled with enforcement measures that need an invasion declaration. So, for instance, Abbott can right now say, I declare an invasion, and I say, I'm going to take all illegal crossers back to the border. What he's really saying is he's going to take illegal crossers to ports of entry and hand them over to federal agents, and they're going to be processed and let loose on the interior. So he's not actually empowering state agents to do anything about it. So this is an ongoing fight that we're pushing. And again, I don't think that this is going to change next year, depending on who is the speaker. There's a big speaker fight there. But that's the dynamic on the border situation currently. We've got some big name people pushing this. You know, Chip Roy has been an advocate of this, Michael Cloud and others at the federal level. And of course, Don Huffines in the governor's race. This was a major part of his platform. Carrie Lake in Arizona, the attorney general of Arizona was a big backer of this. And at least as of right now, Abbott actually recognizes the authority, but he's not willing to use it. And that's perplexing to me. If you are actually serious about securing the border, why you wouldn't want to do this. And I see the next session, we have three real opportunities to do this. One is a public health authority. So if you get innovative with public health authorities, you can sidestep the Arizona v. U.S. limitations. It's a totally different silo legally. Then you've got the invasion strategy. That's a different silo from the immigration silo, and also sidesteps Arizona v. U.S. limitations. And then I also think that the states just need to get serious about overturning Arizona v. U.S. It's bad case law. It was wrongly decided. And I think that they've got to get innovative on trying to pick standing. So I think that Governor Abbott and the Texas legislature have three opportunities to try to secure the border. And I'd like to see them be serious about one of them. And right now, so far, I've not seen them serious about any of them.
Let me ask you about this, because one of the things that I keep talking about is the second part of the invasion, which is the impact on local communities, the schools, the medical services, the welfare, the housing, everything is being impacted by these millions of illegal aliens. And, you know, will the states have any kind of, do you think that they'll have any kind of guts, I'll put it in those terms, to address it?
I sure hope so. I don't think Steve McCraw, head of DPS, has the guts to do this. I don't think he's the right man for the job. I think he should resign, and someone else who's serious about securing the border should be appointed. I think that Abbott is weak on this. I think that, frankly, Ken Paxton has been weak on this. I'd like to see him start getting more serious about supporting the legal structure of securing the border. So, I think the one option we have is picking a fight in the state legislature. Have the state legislature force the hand of Abbott. But, of course, is that going to happen if, you know, they appoint Dade Phelan as speaker and he puts Democrats in charge of committees to kill all the good bills? You know, so there's a lot of different fights going on. The problem is that the Republican Party statewide leadership is incredibly weak when it comes to border security. They've been incredibly weak when it comes to border security. And I don't know that that's going to change anytime soon. So I think that anyone who's serious about this and wants to solve it has got to start applying pressure and demanding that all statewide leadership, lieutenant governor, attorney general, governor, frankly, any, you know, dog catcher, I don't care. Sheriffs have got to be more vocal. Counties have got to force the hands here. We've got to really start pushing Abbott, because at the end of the day, I think that Governor Abbott's interests are construction donors and construction industry, and they want workers. And I just don't think that Abbott is actually serious about securing the border, and he's going to continue to put up nonsensical executive orders that, if you really read the fine print, don't do anything. And that's what has happened in Texas, is Governor Abbott has spent millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. He has put in really difficult positions a lot of National Guardsmen who are losing their jobs because they're being over-deployed on the border and not given the authority to actually secure it. So it's the worst of both worlds. I actually think that Governor Abbott owes our National Guardsmen a giant apology for all of the time and money and resources he has wasted and the stress he has put on their families, without actually giving them any authority to do anything.
Wow. Do you see this fight in other states as well? Because, I mean, obviously Texas is on the front line. What about the other states that are impacted by illegal immigration?
Yeah, so, you know, California doesn't seem to care. New Mexico doesn't seem to care. Arizona did, and Carrie Lake was going to be possibly our champion on this issue, and she was going to declare an invasion and do everything necessary to secure the border. But of course, we know what's going on there right now. Otherwise, there are a few governors, like DeSantis specifically, has said that Abbott should declare an invasion, and if he were to do so, that he would send personnel down to the border to help. So we're all just kind of waiting on Governor Abbott to do his job, and he's just not doing his job at all. He's not securing the citizens of Texas from the harm of an ongoing invasion, which is thousands upon thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people illegally coming into our communities, impacting those communities in a very negative way, and really just trampling all over the sovereignty of Texas. And Abbott just doesn't want to solve it, and it's a travesty.
It is. We are watching a lot of this happening here in our own backyard in San Antonio. And sadly, one of the things that I keep hearing, or that I'm told, is that, well, we've got to be careful that we don't offend the Hispanic community. I'm in shock by that one.
Yeah. And I mean, you know better than I. Hispanics want a secure border, too. And so when I see Republicans say that, they're treating Hispanic voters like infants.
It's so paternal. You know, yeah, it's paternalistic. Voters, it's very paternalistic.
Yeah, it is. It's so demeaning. Hispanic voters, as you know, are like the rest of us. They work hard. They're good parents. They want their communities to be safe. They want borders to be safe. They want to stop cartels from pushing all this nonsense into their communities, just like everyone else. And so, like, Republicans need to stop worrying about trying to parent Hispanic voters and just go out and do the job. And Hispanic voters will reward them.
Exactly.
If Republicans actually enforce the law and make our community safer and provide more opportunity to all Texans, Hispanics will react favorably to that.
Amen to that. Buddy, tell the folks where they can follow you and a little bit about the Citizens for Renewal, Renewal of America. People need to support that.
Yeah, so you can go to AmericaRenewing.com. That's AmericaRenewing.com. I'm on Twitter, Wade Miller_USMC. My boss, Russ Vogt, that's Vought. He was Trump's OMB director. Had a lot of power in the Trump administration, not enough power to overturn all of the swamp, but a lot of power to start influencing things to go in the right direction. And that's why we created this entity, we really saw that there need to be major paradigm shifts in the way conservatives and Republicans look at public policy. And we need people to get out there and start talking about it and making it mainstream, like the invasion strategy or combating critical race theory or opposing child gender modification. These are all things that average Americans think are just basic common sense, but the Republican consultant and organization class are just decades behind where their voters are, and they're not being responsive and providing actual policy solutions that fix these problems. And so we wanted to fill that gap and really represent the conservative movement where it is today and not 40 years ago.
Amen. Put affirmative action in there, because I believe that's legalized discrimination, but that's another story we can talk about.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Wade, for being on our show, folks. Once again, we've been talking with our friend Wade Miller from the Citizens for Renewal of America, and we really appreciate all the fight that you're doing, and we got to get you back on the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, on KLUP.